Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this April 16th, 2024. Have your host, James, behind the mic. And at 3:30 today, we're going to welcome in CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns. Looking forward to speaking with her. Looking forward to this conversation we're about to have with our guests. We have Wisconsin Rapids Fire Chief in with us right now, Todd X. Todd, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here, sir. Appreciate the time. Sarah Lucchini is with us as well from the Wood County Health Department. Sarah, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And we have Patrick Delaney with us, older person in Wisconsin Rapids. Patrick, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I appreciate the time from all of you. If I messed up anybody's names, mine is Maloff. You are welcome to mess it up all you like. It's a 20-minute show, so I should get it right by the end of the show. But in all seriousness, I cannot thank you all enough for being here. Every one of you has a different role in our community that we are thankful for and appreciative of. And anytime I get you guys in front of me, I like to thank you eye to eye and person to person. So our Wood County Health Department, we greatly appreciate the work you guys do. We have your back, and most of us wouldn't know what to do or where we would be without you guys. We greatly appreciate what you do. Being an older person, Patrick, is something that we are very, especially coming out of a recent election, it's something we're always encouraging people to do and be a part of. Appreciate you doing that with your time. Thank you for that. And Chief, we were just talking in our pregame. I got to tell you, when I was a kid, my first field trip in Chicago was going to the Chicago Fire Department. And I wanted to be an actor since I was 7, but right before that, I wanted your job. I have always admired and looked up to firemen and what they do, and not just what you do in the field, but who you are as people. So greatly appreciate what you do for our community. Thank you so much for being here. And all of you, thank you for this topic. What we're going to get into today is a program that will be around to assist those who are reliant on electrical medical machines during a power or electrical outage. This is a gray area. This is something that isn't the first thing a lot of people might think of with a power outage or something like that. So I'm always appreciative of a community seeing those blind spots, those gray areas, and being able to do something about them. Now, Chief, when it comes to this idea, this program, where did this start? Where did this come from?
Actually, you can thank older person Delaney to my right here. He come to me with the idea that I think there's a population out there that are, you know, at risk during electrical outages, and said, is there something we can do about that? And I said, well, we sure can work on it. And we probably were kind of slow in the start, but I don't know. I think that we didn't know how to attack this. Mm-hmm. So we kind of put our heads together and decided that, you know, it's not something that really 911 can affect during a big operations like that because we're already busy. So we come up with the volunteer idea. Mm-hmm. And we started putting that together with, you know, how are we going to incorporate this? And right away we thought of Wood County Health. And actually, I reached out to Sarah for some statistics to try to find out, you know, how big a population is out there.
Yeah.
And she said, this is something I think I would really like to get involved with. So she come on board with us. And the statistics show there's a large population out there, but we don't know how much of that population are dependent on themselves or very few people. Some of that population is in nursing homes and places like that that have people to help them. So we're trying to target that population set that is, you know, independent or has very few people to rely on in a time of emergency like this.
Yeah.
So we come up with the idea of volunteers. Can we pair up volunteers that are geographically in the same location throughout the city as the people that are dependent on those electrical devices? And what then came up was, you know, we got an organization in the county that takes care of volunteers very well, being the United Way, and that was Sarah's idea, and she said we should get a hold of Ben Eberlein, who kind of runs that.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're kind of to where we are now is we want to get that definitive number of what is out there. So what we come up with this program is to collect some data and what are those numbers that are out within our community. And then once we get that definitive number, we can then reach out to volunteers and pair them up, looking at like 2 volunteers per citizen that needs that help so that there's always somebody there for them in a time of need. So
yeah,
that's kind of a short roundabout, you know, paragraph of how we got here.
So. That's some good cliff notes. I feel pretty caught up on that one. Yeah. I think I could take a test on that. That is pretty good. Thank you for that, sir. Appreciate it. And Sarah, I want to talk to you about those stats in a moment. I want to get to that. But if you don't mind, Patrick, I want to kind of piggyback off of what the Chief was saying and where this idea started with you. It kind of begins, it seems. Where did it begin for you? Where did you first see this blind spot, this gray area that it was needing to go to the, and made you think, oh, I should go to the fire chief about this and not?
Well, that's an excellent question. Mm. And actually, it's kind of hard to answer because, you know, being an alderman, I'm looking for ways to help the community out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just in going and rubber stamping everything that goes through common council.
Yeah.
Which I'm really good at.
That's good. It's a good quality to have.
Anybody that knows me knows.
Yeah. Is it one of those things where you see it, so you've seen it a number of times and you kind of make a mental note about it? It wasn't necessarily one thing or one person that came to you. It was kind of a number of actions. Is it more like that?
Yeah, I think it started with being involved in the community and also with our family, but knowing elderly people that where their spouse has passed away in their home alone. In an emergency event, the fire and police department are so overwhelmed that we really do need something that can help the population out. And this is for anybody that is reliant on electricity. Mm-hmm. The elderly typically don't like to bother anyone until it's too late.
Yeah.
So this is a program where we can just have some people come and check on them, that people are going to be background checked and everything's going to be safe with them. So,
And that part is certainly key to that. I want to get into that more as we go into the conversation. And thank you, Patrick. Appreciate that. Sarah, for some of us, this seems like an issue, but we weren't sure. I imagine for you in the Wood County Health Department and your colleagues, you may have already seen that this was becoming an issue, already an issue. Can we talk about those stats that the chief asked you about and get into that a little bit? And why this is such a need?
Yeah, absolutely. So through the Department of Health Services, they do issue us quarterly information about folks that may be dependent on electric devices for their medical needs. And we use that de-identified data to be able to determine what types of needs would be in our community, because it's important for us to understand our needs of the community so that we can plan ahead of time. Because a big focus within the health department is obviously resiliency and recovery from any type of natural disaster, infectious outbreak, things such as that. So we are able to obtain that information, but like I said, it's de-identified. So we don't exactly know which individuals may be disproportionately disadvantaged in the event of a power outage. So in the creation of this program, we're going to have a self-registration process. So folks who self-identify as having durable medical devices at home, they might be bed confined, older adults, folks that might be disabled, or even those that are socially isolated, like Chief Akis had mentioned, that might not have those support systems, those folks can register, and then we can be able to pair them with those volunteers quickly.
Just on the surface, this seems like such a great idea. And not having any of those stats or any of that information, just being in this town for 20 years, it feels like, oh yeah, on the surface, this is definitely something we could use. And it seems like what you're seeing is kind of backing that up, but we still need this data to really bring it home. That's a key part of this conversation today and part of what we're having you on the air for. But certainly something I think that even just as in general is interesting to think about for locals and something to keep in mind. I can't help myself. I think of other interviews I've done with our ADRC. And when we are promoting Meals on Wheels, it's important. It's important that they get that food, that they get that protein. Just as important is that check-in. Just as important as, you know, just stopping. How you doing? How's things going? That kind of thing. It's just as important as the protein there. So with something like this, it feels like it's great on the surface of what it is. It may have even more benefits to it that we're not seeing right now that we won't know until we're actually doing it.
Absolutely. That allows for that connection point, too, within our community. So even though this is going to be on the back end with a response aspect to it, it's also going to help us identify some of those prevention measures and different types of initiatives that we can work on in order to promote health within our community.
when it comes to the, fast forwarding a little bit here. Oh, and I did want to say something, sir, to you, Chief. You mentioned that this process may have been slow going. I'm glad. Look, I wanted to get done, but I wanted to be right. And I think that we need more of that. We need to get back to more of that. We all of us want things done in a second and want to be done with things right away and all that. Not everything's like that. And something like this, it needs to take time. We need to be patient with this. We need to be stretch our legs a little bit and make this get right for the people that need it. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that you guys have taken your time with this. You didn't just bulldoze it in and everything. When it comes to the types of people that will volunteer, the types of people we're looking for, I don't want to get too far ahead here or anything, but it is always nice to put the thought in people's heads that, hey, you could be one of those people. What is the kind of person that we're looking for something like this? And I can ask this question to any of you, but I'm looking right at you, Sarah. I'm sorry. But from your opinion and your perspective, the type of people that would make good volunteers for something like this.
What I would say is anyone who has a heart for their community. These folks don't necessarily need to be medically trained, certified, or licensed by any means. We will actually have a training onboarding process so that any of these volunteers are able to pick up on certain cues where they might need additional help or resources for this individual. So honestly, if you're over the age of 18 and you have some time to volunteer and dedicate to your community, I would say please sign up.
Mm-hmm. I would say, too, to kind of echo that or go along with that is, even though whether you don't have the training ahead of time, Sarah talked about, you know, we're going to give you some training. We're going to try to pair them up too with the people that are going to be, coming over to their home in the time of need,
yeah,
and get them paired up and associated with them ahead of time. So it's not just, they're never going to see them before, mm-hmm. And with that also, doesn't mean that if we did have a first responder or somebody that was a nurse and had that thrived to help with the community, they would be great volunteers for this. But don't let it think that it's you got to be trained before you come to this. We will give you what you need.
And that's great to know. And it's something else. I know when I volunteered, when I've done things, one of the, it's your heart that pulls you into it. It's your empathy that pulls you into it. But it's never bad to learn a new skill set. Like, that always is nice. It's a bit of a win-win kind of situation that your time is valuable and you're using it well. And you come away with this kind of skill set or some of these things that you or a loved one may be able to use in your own personal life one day. And I think that is an added bonus to this that should be mentioned. I think that's noteworthy about it. When it comes to collecting this data, let's get into that and how we can help with that. Because as a community, you know this community as well as I do. We have a lot of helpers out there, a lot of people that want to put into this and want to help. How can we collect this? How are we collecting this data?
Sure. So the City of Wisconsin Rapids has an online sign-up. So you can go to their main website. There's a link down there, and the program's called the Guardian Angel Program. So you can just tap on there quickly. There's a brief description of what the program is, individuals who we anticipate to be serving during the times of need. And there's also going to be a registration link for the individuals to sign up if they believe that they fit into some of these categories that might need to be checked in on during a power outage. And then there will also be a separate link for folks to sign up to volunteer.
Mm-hmm. WIRapids.org. I encourage you to bookmark that if you haven't done so already. WIRapids.org is where you can find out that information and more. When it comes to anything else we can cover about this, because you mentioned the United Way got involved, and I'm not surprised. We got Terry coming in next, and she's on the air with us all the time, and we're talking about different ways. One of the things I think the United Way does well, and not to say others don't, but I think they do incredibly well, is finding those gray areas in our community. We've got a lot of great organizations out there covering a lot of big topics, but for every big topic, there is something like this. And it's important to not only have these things covered, but to have an organization that really knows what they're doing and can really be a big asset when it comes to this. So I think that that's a wonderful thing to be able to see. Gives a lot of confidence as well, I think, for the people that are going to need this service, that are going to need this program. And to that point, to the people that need this program, I'm personally thankful to see something like that and hope to see more of these types of things going forward. We're only here because of these people. because of these people that are the seniors we're talking about, the older generation, none of us are here without them. And I think that one of the least things we can do is try to have their back, try to help in any way we can. And something like this is, again, that I keep coming back to that gray area part of things where there's so much that we cover, but then there's something like this that we just don't always see. And I appreciate you all coming here today, taking the initiative to get this ball rolling, and looking forward to having you back to talk more about this program once it is up and running and how people can be involved. I think that that's so. Yes, you are going to have to come back. I'm so sorry, but you notice I waited to the end of the interview to bring that up. We are definitely going to have you guys back though, and talk more about this. Is there anything as far as right now that we can do? Are we currently collecting data? Are we currently able to give you guys data? Is there any way we can help right this second, right now?
Yeah, I'm just in contact with our IT. He's just finalizing the link on there, and that will be for sure live. We had to do some modifications with some of the language on there, but once that goes live, you can click on there and then put your data in. Or we are discussing too, because a lot of people are not savvy with a computer. Mm-hmm. I think we're talking about having a flyer that you could sign up off of with a flyer then and hand that in, so that we're catching all aspects of who is in need of it. To go along with what you're saying about the population that have us here, that population is was the largest working population ever in history. And in our area here, central Wisconsin, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wisconsin Rapids, has the highest elderly population per capita. It is one of the highest in the nation. Mm-hmm. So that kind of shows the importance of a program like this in our area here right now.
Well said. Yeah. To the point of the people that are going to be using this service quite a bit and everything, you mentioned that they may not be, or some people might not be tech savvy. I will say that I've known plenty of seniors that are. My papa was 94 and better on computers than I'll ever be. But there are more traditionally, it does seem to be a part of the population that is not always tech savvy. So when it comes to that, is there a way for we're going to find ways for them to get the data to us as well, even if they are not? And when that website is up and running, when these things are happening, we will let the audience know as soon as we know. We'll get it out there right away. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you, Sarah?
Yeah, so I can be reached at the Wood County Health Department. We can take direct calls at 421-8911 and just ask for Sarah.
And Chief, how can they reach you?
My direct phone is 421-6278. They can call there, and if it's a question that I can't answer because it's the Wood County Health side, we will refer them over to her.
Appreciate that. All of you, thank you so much for the time today. Really do appreciate you being here. Thank you all for what you do for our community and hanging out with me today and putting up with my questions. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And again, find out more and keep an eye out for this link at wirapids.org, wirapids.org. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back with more Midday Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.